Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Good Football Show. I am Patrick Daugherty, joined as always by Mr. Denny Carter. We're going to take a spin through this week's biggest news, including Aaron Rodgers being the one person in America who apparently doesn't want to move to Denver with the Green Bay Packers. Calvin Ridley being banned for at least a year from football for betting on the game. Never a good idea. Never a good idea, I've been told by Shoeless Joe Jackson, Onagi, countless other folks over the years. And Denny insisting we talk about Dalton Schultz. Yes. Cowboys, that's the big news of the week. Then we're going to dive into this spring's free agency class, which Denny and I have comprehensively previewed in an article that will be live on NBC Sports Edge beginning Tuesday evening after the franchise tag deadline, which is Tuesday afternoon. But first, Denny, Aaron Rodgers is back. The prodigal son returns after never leaving, question.
Yeah.
They're never going anywhere for like 18 years.
He's back.
Four-year, $200 million deal, according to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. That includes $153 million guaranteed. Let I may remind you, this is a team that 2 years ago drafted a quarterback in the first round, the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love. And I don't know if they were counting on back-to-back MVP awards from their current quarterback when they used the first round pick on a quarterback, Denny, but does this change anything for the Packers? I mean, it doesn't change anything for the Packers, right? Because Devonta Adams is going to be back. We're recording the show at 1 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday afternoon. Devonta hasn't been officially franchise tagged yet, as far as I know, but I mean, no chance. He's already said, like, if Rodgers is back, no chance he's gone from Green Bay. He'll be back. Like, MVS might be gone. I mean, do you have any thoughts on, like, maybe how this the composition of this receiver core be different? Is MVS going to walk? I honestly don't know. Did you highlight anyone in your article where it might be an ideal landing spot for the Packers? How do you view the Packers skill core for 2022? Other than this, we know it's going to be pretty similar.
Right. I think that the pitching and the catching from Aaron Rodgers to Devonta Adams will continue unabated as the kind of the centerpiece of that offense. Alan Lazard is a free agent. MVS is a free agent. Robert Tonyan is a free agent.
Touchdown Tutty.
You know who's not a free agent? Randall Cobb.
Is there something really bad with his salary? Like, can they not cut him? No, I'm sure they can probably cut him.
I think if they want Rodgers to play this season, they won't cut him.
Yeah, that's true. They're bringing the whole Rodgers band back. They brought back that quarterback coach for him. Randall Cobb seems to be kind of like his new age sage.
Right.
He really likes him there. They could save $6.7 million by releasing Randall Cobb, by the way. But we'll see.
Well, yeah. I somehow don't think that's going to happen. But, yeah, I think the passing offense will look different this season. I don't think that they can afford MVS. I think that there will be some team out there willing to pay up for Valdes-Scantling as a deep threat who showed that he can do a little more than the deep threat stuff while he was healthy last season. I think there's a pretty good chance that Lazard comes back to Green Bay because the coaching staff loves him. How some coaching staffs are just over the moon for some players.
I mean, he is their starting tight end.
That's how the Packers are with Lazard. It reminds me how the Raiders were with Zay Jones, really, really into the player. So also I can't imagine Lazard, having a huge market out there, even among wide receiver needy teams. So I could see Lazard coming back, but yeah, I think things will generally look similar to 2022. Now, I don't know if Adams gets slapped with the franchise tag, that's not enough money for Devonta Adams. I don't really know how happy he's going to be with that.
He might not be super happy, but maybe he's okay with like the run it back, motif at least for one more year. But I think like the smoke kind of from both sides is they had to figure out Rodgers. And if they did figure that out, that they would genuinely work towards a long-term deal. They have until July 15th to do that because it doesn't seem like they're going to get a long-term deal worked out by Tuesday afternoon. They will have until July 15th to do that. I agree. So the cap is going up by $25 million this year. Aaron Rodgers' cap number is actually coming down. That's like how cap sorcery and wizardry works. So they will have some money. They can do things like cut Za'Darius Smith. They can cut Randall Cobb. But the skill core is probably going to look pretty similar. I totally agree. Alan Lazard's way more likely to be back than MVS, because MVS is the kind of team I feel like, frankly, free agent. He's the kind of free agent teams, frankly, should pay for, because he at least has a certifiable skill. Like, he's a certifiable, like, downfield difference maker. And, like, you will overpay for him, because just kind of by definition,
right?
If a skill player reaches free agency, you end up overpaying for them, because so few of them reach the open market. So I don't feel like MVS will be back. I do feel like Lazard, there's no team, like you said, that's going to value Lazard as highly.
Right.
And do you think the Packers could get in, like, the free agent tight end market? Like, because Tonyan, he was a one-year wonder who then got hurt. I mean, that tight end has been a sore spot for the Packers for so long. I was just thinking, like, Zach Ertz would have been someone I would love to, like, see
in Green Bay.
But have you given any thought to that? I mean, Gronk to Green Bay? I mean, could they be in the tight end market?
Well, you know, Gronk, I didn't know this until I was doing my research on the free agent class this season, that Gronk has expressed interest in playing with Joe Burrow. So we have to keep an eye.
That would actually be kind of amazing.
It would be, especially
because mutually beneficial, all those guys at creating space for each other.
And the Bengals have, well, first of all, Uzama is a free agent, and the Bengals have tons of cap space. So they could do it anyway. I don't see Gronk going to Green Bay, but there are other guys. I mean, Ertz is probably too expensive, honestly, for the Packers, unless, you know, he goes for like a team friendly deal on a contender. I can't imagine Zach Ertz signing with a team that doesn't have a chance to win a Super Bowl. So I guess that's in the realm of possibility. You also have Eric Ebron, perhaps.
That would be the kind of Packers tight end signing they've been making for like years, even under like the late Ted Thompson. That was one area where he began to spend in free agency. They seem to love to sign like Jared Cook, Jimmy Graham, Eric Ebron types. So that would be a fit.
And Jared Cook is available, by the way. Can I interest you in one Jared Cook? 35-year-old Jared Cook.
But by the way, Jared Cook, shouts to Jared Cook, who ended up having a really, really good career. Like, he seems to be at the end now. Like, a guy whose career did not get off to a good start was one of the most mistakes. He was like the classic guy, like, why did the ball just get stuck in Jared Cook's face mask? Like, I didn't know that was even possible. He ended up having an extremely good career. So
yeah, no, you're right. It seemed like every time, every highlight, Jared Cook highlight early on in his career was marred by something at the end of the play where you were like, ah, God, almost so close. Nevertheless,
The Packers, in free agency, I don't think they're going to get like a true difference maker. They can maybe take, so they're probably going to need a deep threat. And that's an element when this offense doesn't have that guy clearing space down the field. That was like one time where it actually looked vulnerable the past few years whenever MVS was not playing. I mean, they could take a bounce back flyer on Will Fuller. They could maybe take a shot on T.Y. Hilton, who's going to want to go somewhere where he can win. He seems like a guy just totally devoted to Indianapolis, but that situation just might not be tenable for him at this point. But I just know, I'm looking through your list, they're going to just sign like AJ Green or Sammy Watkins.
Oh, that'd be so unfortunate.
Sammy could maybe work there.
No. They really do. I mean, without MVS, they don't have a field stretcher.
No, and that's an element this offense need. They need someone to clear that space down the field.
And someone for Rodgers to just chuck it up to once in a while, you know, like on second and short, which is a down where the Packers are among the most aggressive, maybe the most aggressive team in the league per the analytics. they chuck it down to MVS. So Will Fuller would fit that bill perfectly. I would love to see Fuller go to Green Bay. And they were very close to acquiring him 2 years ago.
Yeah, those dots have been almost connected for several years. You just wonder about his health. Man, I would love to see Christian Kirk there, kind of a versatile guy who would be a good fit for their offense. But his money might be kind of weird. DJ Shark will probably just be too expensive. So, yeah, I know. I think it's going to be like a veteran. Like, I don't mean this as a pejorative, but like a ring chaser veteran kind of is what we're going to be mutually beneficial for both sides.
Sure.
It's like, it's going to be that kind of situation and not someone it's going to like really shake things up.
So Deshaun Jackson to Green Bay is what you're saying.
Oh boy. Yeah. Man, yeah. Deshaun too. Another guy, really great career. Probably about time to hang it. Cause talk about a guy who was having Jared Cook moments last year, like where Deshaun Jackson like glitched a few times and like went back like 10 yards. Like it's like, that's like when you, Denny doesn't play video games. If that happened, I would be like, I need to submit this error to EA. Like I actually am going to submit this error.
I feel like DeSean Jackson, besides that weird glitch on, was it Thanksgiving? I think I feel he showed that he can still run faster than anybody else on the field. I was kind of,
he gets tired very quickly. I've noticed he gets tired. He's got big 35-year-old man energy.
Yes.
With how tired he gets, but his initial burst is still out there. I mean, is anyone down more bad from this than like Jordan Love, who I tweeted this, by the way. No one in the history of the world has ever asked for this less than Jordan Love. Well, like, he didn't sign up for this. Like, he didn't ask for this, becoming like a punchline, becoming like the guy that everyone hated for no reason. I feel like they won't trade him, because if you're this all in, you're paying a $50 million quarterback. Your whole world is built around this quarterback. You want to have some semblance of a backup plan, but it seems like they don't even maybe believe Jordan Love's the backup plan. Do you think Jordan Love is on this roster in 2022, or is it time to cash him in for whatever they can get, which is probably a day two pick, but maybe not a second round pick?
I think they'll trade him. You know, I think that there are teams that would be willing to kind of take a flyer and have him compete in training camp. What we have seen in preseason action and in that regular season game against Kansas City last year has not been good. Okay. To put it mildly.
He was trying to impress his mom in Kansas City, but she was in row 4,000. So he was like overdoing everything. Sorry. Right. This is like a joke about a micro moment from the 2021 season. Sorry if you forgot about the meme of Jordan Love's mom sitting literally the final row of Arrowhead Stadium.
How could we ever forget that? But yes, I think there will be teams, and the Packers, I don't think, will be too incredibly picky about what they get. I mean, what can they ask for? A day three pick? You know,
it's gonna be a day two pick. It actually will be a day two pick, I think. But it's the question of, is it a second rounder or is it a third rounder, which is not the return on a first round pick investment you want. It wouldn't be catastrophic, like 2 years after the fact, for a guy who hasn't even played. I think they can get a day two pick, but I don't know. I guess don't quote me on that.
But wherever Jordan Love goes, he's going to be at best a backup who might see some action, you know, because of injury or because of, some poor quarterback play ahead of him.
I think he could as we're about to talk about in a few minutes, the market, as usual, is horrible. The free agent market. Yeah. Supposedly the draft class is not good. The only player anyone wants to talk about is Malik Willis, very much us included. It does not seem like a good draft class, but there's tons of teams that need quarterback, like badly. Like the Commanders, they're a real team, apparently.
You don't even have to do this. You don't even have to. It's actually the Commanders.
If the Commanders written on the show sheet here, the Steelers, the Broncos. Let's just finish this deal with the Broncos, but let's do it with Jordan Love instead. Day two pick to the Broncos.
That's tough, man.
It's tough, but you can't go back to like the Teddy Bridgewater. Well, you can't like do this year's version of Teddy Bridgewater.
No, but the Broncos have transitioned to Russell Wilson now.
Yeah, we're on to Russell Wilson. Yeah.
According to reports, the Seahawks have batted down any and all offers and rumors about Russell Wilson leaving Seattle. He hasn't explicitly said he wants out. So there's almost no reason to think that the Broncos can get that done. They're stuck in quarterback purgatory. I mean, think about the Broncos are still trying to replace Peyton Manning.
I would say they're still trying to replace, you want to talk about quarterback purgatory, they're still trying to replace Brock Osweiler, still trying to replace Paxton Lynch. But yeah, no, I'm sorry. They truly are still trying to replace Peyton Manning, who he's been out of the league long enough that he is now in the Hall of Fame. Usually a good sign. If you have not replaced the quarterback.
And by the way, the Broncos' best plan and only plan for years has been to snipe an elite quarterback for maybe a 1 year run at a Super Bowl, maybe a couple year run. It's a fairly hopeless situation, I feel like, for Denver, which is unfortunate because there are a lot of really good skill position players in that offense who could really use a halfway decent quarterback. You saw Jerry Jeudy's tweet today, I'm sure. Where he tweeted an emoji that appeared disappointed by the Rodgers.
I thought you were saying he just tweeted down bad.
Well, he insinuated by the emoji that he did in fact down bad.
Yeah, the Broncos plan, this won't work for some listeners if they're not multi-sport viewers, but there was a period of time in the mid-teens where the New York Knicks spent like 3 years just getting ready to sign LeBron James. And this might have happened several times, actually. Like, Like it was always like three. He's gonna be a free agent in 3 years, but when he is, we're gonna sign him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he doesn't even like return their phone call.
They made every move they made, you know, clearing space. We're trading this guy. We're draft picks. Everything. I don't follow basketball, obviously, but yes, I remember being like, okay, so LeBron's going to New York. That's it. That's the end of that.
I think, yeah, I said the teens. I think this is actually the initial time he became a free agent. They like oriented their entire franchise, and then he just like deleted their number the second they called him. So I mean, the Broncos don't. There isn't like no viable backup plan. I guess it's Russell Wilson, and then maybe Kirk Cousins. Well, like because the Vikings. I mean, maybe Derek Carr. I mean, I don't know if they would do that in the division. Because the Raiders all of a sudden, the Raiders did their best to be like, oh, we're really committed to Derek Carr. And they're like, it was like they started like Josh McDaniels put his phone like 2 inches from it and says, oh, okay, stop committing to Derek Carr. Okay. And they kind of like backed off of that a little bit.
Yeah, we are totally committed to Derek Carr at this moment. That's what
yeah,
he said.
Yeah, because like there's no free agent options for the Broncos. They are a team that's been on this like merry-go-round of Teddy Bridgewater's. They can't like do Mitchell Trubisky, right?
Can they? I mean, can they not? I mean, I feel like they
cannot.
Can.
They cannot. I think the Broncos are the one team like they truly cannot. Like the fans will revolt if they do the Mitchell Trubisky, Marcus Mariota.
It can't be worse than Bridgewater.
It can be, actually, easily. It really can be. Do you remember Mitchell Trubisky?
Yeah, but he was playing for Nagy. You have to cut
him back. I know, man.
You have to cut everybody some. You know, people talk about Justin Fields as if he's irredeemable. He was playing under the worst coach in the league last year. Come on.
I don't know, man. I feel like the Broncos are uniquely positioned to not be able to do that. Where like they can't take one of these like upside flyers, because you know the thing about upside flyers is they usually don't have the upside ever. Like it's only there in theory, and then it never gets there in practice. I feel like the Broncos fan base will basically just, like quit on the team.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I feel like that's one of the fan bases that will literally never quit. But they could do that weird thing where you draft a quarterback and you develop him.
Yeah. I
mean, it's one thought.
That's for suckers. That never works except for always. So anyways, Aaron Rodgers, he's still with the Green Bay Packers, folks. Not still with his team is Calvin Ridley, who has been suspended for apparently betting $1,500. Was it literally on FanDuel? I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we've seen a lot of bad Calvin Ridley takes. And again, we're all about player empowerment, Denny, you and I. No one would ever accuse us of not being pro player. But I do think it's a pretty hard and fast, easy rule to follow that you can't gamble on your own sport. And I understand the swift and very punitive action by the NFL. And like you could say it's hypocritical as they're awash in all this gambling money, but I really don't think it's hypocritical. I think that's pretty easy baseline that he's lucky to not have gotten banned for life, frankly.
I feel, yeah. And by the way, it wasn't just so everyone's clear. And I'm not sure if folks have like, you know, really read into this at all, but apparently like it was not a complex setup for Calvin Ridley. It was like clicking on the app on his phone.
He got on FanDuel. That's literally what he did. He just like got on FanDuel.
So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a Pete Rose situation here.
No.
And who I understand is a baseball player, but but listen, it seems a little bit hypocritical, but you can't have players doing that. But this harkens back to something that we, you know, briefly mentioned in February, that there's an NFL owner who owns the Dolphins,
you know,
who offered to pay his head coach to intentionally lose games. That to me seems like a bigger story than
it is, but they caught Calvin Ridley red-handed. They have not caught Stephen Ross red-handed yet. And then he didn't help his case, I feel like, by openly admitting to it.
Oh,
on Twitter.
God, log off, Calvin. God, please.
Yeah, I did openly admit to it, Denny.
I never tell people to log off, but Calvin Ridley, I'm begging you to put your phone down. Delete the Twitter app. Delete it.
A key difference between Stephen Ross and Calvin Ridley was that Calvin Ridley tweeted, "I did it, lol," basically. And LOL, free folks out there if you don't pronounce it, lol.
Man, oh, man.
Wow. Yeah, so that was a problem. So Cal, I mean,
yeah.
So when if he comes back in 2023, which he probably will, I don't think he's going to gamble again because he doesn't seem like a serious gambler.
No,
he's going to be 29 with five appearances over the past 2 years. Like, Is this a situation? Doesn't it feel like every time, totally different controversies here, but doesn't it feel like every time there's like a Martavis Bryant situation in Dynasty, like it just never come back, basically. Like totally different. Like I feel like if you get someone that tries to buy low on Calvin Ridley from you, you just do it. I mean, I feel like you just do it and just operate under the assumption this guy's never going to play again and never be the same again.
But, yeah, I mean, I feel like it would take quite the galaxy brain to say, I'm going to roster this guy. I'm going to acquire Calvin Ridley and hope that he can get back to his 2019 form in the year 2023.
The 2020 form, 2020 form. But I mean, all the years are the same now.
Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. You're right.
Yes. There's no difference. I mean, there's no difference between good and bad years.
You idiot.
You absolute moron.
I mean, as far as the fallout from this goes, I would think and maybe even hope that the Falcons would be more open to drafting a receiver in the first round.
Man, but can't I don't, man, talk about a team with a lot of needs.
Yeah, with tons of so many.
A lot of needs.
All the needs, really.
Quite literally all the needs.
I mean, you in your piece, in your end of season piece, you know, you pointed out, we talked about it briefly. The Falcons were the worst 7-win team ever.
Yeah, they were truly horrifying.
I mean, they were a 7-win team bordering on a 2-win team.
They really were. They really were.
Maybe they'll take they cannot, please, Falcons, whatever you do, please don't take a safety or like a defensive tackle.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Don't take the Notre Dame safety, man.
Please consider taking a quarterback or wide receivers. I mean, someone to give your fans some hope.
Yeah, everyone talks about this Notre Dame safety. Like, to be worth taking a safety in the top, like, 10, they basically need to, like, instantly be Troy Polamalu. And I just don't think that's going to happen.
Right, yeah. Is he Ed Reed off the bat? If so, then draft.
The thing is about the Falcons, you're just a Falcons hater. I mean, once they fix this skill core, this offensive line, and this entire defense, they're going to be pretty good.
Right. So. I really do think we're looking at Arthur Smith, you know, being on the hot seat maybe as early as this year. I would be somewhat surprised if he gets through three seasons.
And he got like talked about so much as like a fake sharp last year, but I don't know how much of it could really be. He's gonna be one of those guys. Yeah, it was impossible to evaluate him basically because this roster is just so bad.
It is terrible. Yeah, if Arthur Blank, the team owner, if he doesn't have patience, you know, and he actually is pretty patient as far as owners go, but. If he doesn't have patience, then Arthur Blank's in a world of hurt going into this year, maybe at the end of this year.
You just conflated your Arthurs. Arthur Smith is in a world of hurt. Too many Arthurs.
Oh, right.
Too many Arthurs, Denny.
Whoops.
Way too many. Denny, Dalton Schultz, franchise tagged, assigned to the franchise tag with the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, so I was been kidding you about wanting to talk about this, but it is pretty consequential news because Amari Cooper appears like he's going to be gone. Michael Gallup's rehabbing from a torn ACL. As you point, Blake Jarwin has like a degenerative hip issue now.
Yeah.
Like Dalton Schultz has been someone like the fantasy community is like didn't want to accept because they were so in love with Blake Jarwin. But the Cowboys love Dalton Schultz. He's been hyper productive. What is your outlook on 2022 Dalton Schultz?
Yeah, by the way, I was one of the Jarwin truthers who was saying, no, don't worry about Schultz. Jarwin is going to get first crack to be the primary pass catching tight end in this offense. I was wrong. And I think it's a lesson in listening to the teams, you know, listening to coaches. And when they talk up a player constantly, and they were not talking up Blake Jarwin, by the way, they were talking up Dalton Schultz all offseason. I think it's worth us listening. It's hard. It's, you know, we can't quantify it. It's not statistical, but it is still important. So yeah, Schultz gets franchise tag. He'll make $11 million this season. If he plays under the tag, there's a chance that they will sign him to a longer term deal in the coming weeks and months. That doesn't seem likely though, but he's 25 years old. He was.
Well, is he really only 25?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's Blake Jarwin's the one who's like 44. Blake Jarwin's always like secretly old. I forgot about that.
So Schultz, the thing about Schultz is that he was a top three tight end last year. He was a top three. Now this was almost entirely volume based. Okay. He wasn't hyper efficient. He wasn't freakish with the ball, whatever, but he ran the fourth most pass routes. He ran the second most tight end routes from the slot, only behind Gesicki, I believe, and was used. Like we talked about, he didn't block. He's not a good blocker. The Which team knows, good. And that's great. Good. Yeah. Good for you, Dalton, for not really knowing good. How to block. That's great. We like that. So he's going to be, he's going to run a lot of routes. Amari Cooper leading that offense, either through trade or likely being released before mid-March. That opens up a ton of targets, 140, 150 targets. I think Schultz could be like the tight end to target if you are not willing to go in on the Kelce's and the Kittles and whatnot.
Yeah, true. I mean, he's just already, free agency doesn't start until next Monday. And he's just already like a huge winner of the free agency doesn't start till next Wednesday, technically, but it's actually Monday, as we know, with the legal tampering period. And yeah, Dalton Schultz is going to go in dynasty, like maybe send out some point chasing offers, like just look, make yourself look like a noob. Like, why is this guy like Dalton Schultz so much? Doesn't he know this was just empty compiling? He's not even a good blocker. And you're secretly like, yeah.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Right. And hey, who knows if the Cowboys get a little more aggressive through the air next year, could be even better for him. And also Michael Gallup probably won't be 100% or even ready for the start of the season. Like it could be a situation where Schultz enters the season as the number two pass catcher behind CeeDee Lamb.
Danny, you think the Cowboys might get more aggressive, where what you don't know is that Mike McCarthy is actually spending the entire offseason getting into shape. He's right now doing pull-ups, and after every pull-up, he just says, feed Zeke. So
that's what I actually, I eat cereal every morning, and after each bite, I say, Zeke.
Oh, it makes sense, as any true football fan would. We'll be right back to preview this spring's free agent class. The 2022 NBC Sports Edge Fantasy Baseball Draft Guide is available now, and we are giving our listeners a special offer. Get 22% off our draft guide and an annual Edge Plus subscription when you use the promo code BASE22. We get you ready for the fantasy draft with expert insight and tools at one low price. Go to NBCSportsEdge.com/EdgePlus and use promo code BASE22 at checkout to save big this season. Denny, free agency is nearly upon us, and we have you guys covered with our massive primer going live on NBCSportsEdge.com almost as you listen to this, but Tuesday evening. Here on this show, we're just going to take you through the skill positions or the focusing on the most interesting players at each spot. That includes quarterback, where most interesting is kind of like an oxymoron here because it's not a great group. Jameis Winston like leads the group for the second straight year, which kind of just tells you all you need to know about this. Then there's Marcus Mariota, who's being hyped as like a post-hype sleeper question mark. I don't even know what he's being hyped as.
Post hype.
Yeah, post. Mitchell Trubisky, definitely a post hype sleeper, even though he never had hype to begin with, really. Then Teddy Bridgewater's also out there. Like a bunch of Mike Glennon out there, folks. If you want Mike Glennon, Russell Wilson, maybe trade for Kirk Cousins, but not a lot of intrigue in this quarterback class. Who are you more intrigued by? So all the intrigue basically focuses on Marcus Mariota, Mitchell Trubisky. Mm-hmm. Two like vague dual threats, guys who their reputation has grown through not playing in the past year or two. Are you truly intrigued by either one of these guys? Who do you think is going to have more hype, more steam on the open market?
It seems like Trubisky will have the most steam. And it's because of the incredibly smart move that he executed to perfection of taking the humbling approach. You go and you back up somebody and on a good team. You do what you're asked, you run the practice squad, whatever they tell you to do. And then you have the coaches and the GMs from that successful team talk you up as if you are their own son about to marry their daughter. This is a perfect formula for landing a starting job. You're a year removed from playing. No one remembers how bad you were in Chicago. And no one has the film to show it. That's all been.
Been deleted off the internet. It has been. No deleted. One wanted to see that ever again.
We looked it up. It's something of a conspiracy. But anyway, yeah. So I think it will be Trubisky. Trubisky's going to get the steam here. But I would say I'm more excited to see where Marcus Mariota goes because, as we mentioned a few weeks ago on the show, I think his dual threat prowess, you know, it brings a lot to the table as far as fantasy goes.
Mariota too, as we've talked about on the show, it was very limited action for the Raiders the past 2 years, but in that limited action, it looks like he was trying to apply the lessons he learned from his failed stint as Titans starter, where he was just trying to be much more aggressive, especially as a runner.
Yeah.
And that was constantly with the Titans, is like, this guy is supposed to be a dual threat and he literally doesn't run. Like, he doesn't want to run. He's like Daniel Jones, where like he just doesn't want to run. And also like Daniel Jones, he does not seem to particularly enjoy throwing down the field.
Right.
And so Mariota seemed like he played with, like, you know, like noticeable emotion, even though he was only on the field for like 30 plays a year. When he played out there, he was like jacked up. Like, he had just drank an entire like 4-pack of flavored Red Bull.
Right. It's a sugar-free Red Bull.
Yeah, sugar-free. But by the way, I will stand for sugar-free Red Bull.
Really?
I love like the weird foreign alien metallic taste. A lot of people don't like it. I like that it tastes like something that clearly is not natural.
Right, right. Something you should definitely not put in your body.
No, it definitely tastes like something. It tastes like you're just drinking liquid metal.
It's been a long time since
Marcus Mariota. I mean, this guy. Yeah. But I mean, this guy, am I right? I mean, this guy is just good.
He's good. He has Red Bull in his veins. That's what we're saying. I mean, he was running through walls last year when he got out there for the Raiders. If he can bring that sort of play, to a full-time starter job, even if it's just for the short term. We talked about him going maybe to Pittsburgh, where Mike Tomlin has been interested and has expressed interest in a mobile quarterback. You know, I think we're ready. I think we're ready to have one of those guys who can move. And I think that's a good fit. I think, you know, Mariota, look, Denver is down bad in a lot of ways, but Mariota going to Denver, not the worst thing.
Man, it would be actually, though.
It would be
Mariota and Trubisky both have to be paired with first round rookies. Like, this, everything we've been led to believe this kind of year where a first round rookie might be a year where you want to redshirt them. But, like, man, you cannot sign either of these guys and not have a first round rookie in the fold, I feel like. Because, like, you were just asking for pain and, like, fan revolt.
I mean, maybe the Broncos can just keep drafting cornerbacks. I think that probably would work out in the long
term. What was the infamous quote? He said it was easier to find a quarterback than a franchise corner. And then I think he tried to walk it back.
Yeah, he said that. It sounded like I thought that quote was from the early 90s or something.
Even then, it wouldn't have made any sense. Yeah. But,
I don't know if it would have ever made sense.
No, no era football. Denny, running back, it's a weird group. It's always a weird group, because if you're actually a good running back, you get a second contract, even though, as we know, you should basically give no running back a second contract. It brings us no joy in saying this.
No, it doesn't, but it's true.
Because, again, we are pro player, but like, it just quite literally never works.
It doesn't work?
Even Christian McCaffrey's like, yeah, dog, it's not going to work. I'm sorry.
Here's how well it works. They gave Christian McCaffrey $1 trillion last year, and now every 3 weeks there's an ESPN report about him possibly being traded.
Yeah, even though they would like lose money on the deal.
they would have to be beaten over the head salary cap wise.
It would take a cap surcharge. It's actually not a joke. Or not only would the dead money be through the roof, his cap number would actually go up for this year if they traded him.
Yeah, he's untradeable, it turns out.
The big names at running back: Melvin Gordon, Leonard Fournette, James Conner, Rashad Penny, Chase Edmonds, Cordero Patterson, Sony Michel, some interesting, some varied skill sets there. We kind of wanted to talk about, who do we decide we want to talk about, Denny? Melvin Gordon and James Conner.
Yes.
Those two guys are very interesting to me because they are guys who are proven in all three downs. Melvin Gordon has a much better health track record than James Conner. It's kind of better in every phase of the game than James Conner, not like hugely so. But James Conner's just like the slightly worse version of Melvin Gordon, I feel like. But they are like the best all-around skill sets. I don't think they have the most upside. I think that's Rashad Penny, who we're going to talk about in a minute. Yeah. But my best landing spot, like, I really want the Chiefs to sign one of these guys. Because our boy Clyde Edwards-Helaire would probably be better in a committee. Less pressure on him. Melvin Gordon's used to being in committees. James Conner's used to being in committees. The Chiefs, you know, it keeps hurting them. Like, they're the one team – like, running back has like looked like it's mattered a few times. I guess it did when they won the Super Bowl, though. It was Damian Williams. But like, I feel like the Chiefs would be really well served by adding like a competent, real veteran to their backfield. How do you feel about that?
I would personally enjoy very much if James Conner signed with the Chiefs anytime, except for when CEH has the full-time gig there. Any running back who gets that pass catching and rushing role in the KC offense does quite well for fantasy purposes, including Jerick McKinnon, including Darrell Williams. So there's no reason to think that James Conner, who I would say, you know, just looks wise, was way better as a Cardinal than he ever was as a Steeler. It looked like he maybe dropped some weight. He looked more explosive on the field. This is my tape analysis, but I stand by that. I mean, he looked like something of a different player. I think he would be tremendous in the KC backfield. Although we would have to, as fantasy managers, we would have to be prepared for Chiefs coaches and players to say, we love all our running backs. James will be one of several who gets touches and will go from there. There's no way that they would like commit to him, but he would have the best chance, I think, of seizing that RB1 role.
Yeah, it would be hell. I think the Chargers are in a position where, I mean, Austin Eckler is one of the best running backs in the league, but that's something that constantly bit the Chargers in 2021, mm-hmm. was not having a competent complement at number two behind Austin Eckler. And stands the reason they probably won't re-sign Melvin Gordon. They probably won't go back there. So maybe why not to sign the next best thing in James Conner? Where I feel like the Chargers are definitely a team that should throw some money a veteran running back's way. Because Austin Eckler mostly stayed healthy last year. You know, very shaky health history. Not someone, you know, where you really want him handling 20-plus touches a game.
No.
And just like they were just like making it up as they went along. They're like, yeah, sure. I guess it's Larry Roundtree week again this week. And he'd have four carries for 1 yard. And that was something that hurt. And like, too, like the team that's like set the record for most failed fourth down conversions last year could probably use, veteran running back that can maybe gain a yard or two occasionally.
I have to say, as a Brandon Staley backer supporter, it would be nice if the Chargers eventually converted a fourth down.
It's unfortunate too. He's going to spend his entire offseason just diagramming one successful fourth down play. He's not going to work on the defense or anything. Not going to try to progress Justin Herbert. Just one successful fourth down.
See, going for it on fourth down is important and something I advocate. Coming up with plays that can actually gain the yardage to convert the fourth down is also important.
It's a big deal. Big deal. So Rashad Penny is going to be probably the most controversial player in the running back free agent market. A guy who just was not good for 3.5 years. And then basically, I think he led I think he led the league in rushing over the final five. We had 671 yards over his final five games. And every game, he was making difference-making runs. This wasn't like one game he had 230 yards, and that was like the bulk of the yardage came from. So the way Rashad Penny was billed coming into the league was he was kind of like Adrian Peterson or kind of like Jonathan Taylor, where like he could maybe have like an unfortunate amount of 2 to 3 yard runs, but if you give him 20 carries, like two or three of them is going to gain like 15 yards. And like that was just happening over and over and over again for Rashad Penny down the stretch, where he was finally healthy, finally got that volume role, and then he actually lived up to his pre-draft profile. Do you think, is it just like fool's errand basically to chase that for the Seahawks? Or is there actually some reason to be excited about Rashad Penny as a free agent?
The Seahawks don't seem super interested in bringing him back as the unquestioned starter. Still lots of talk about, you know, we want Chris Carson back if he's able to continue his NFL career after the serious neck injury. The Athletic's Seattle Seahawks reporter believes that Chris Carson would be the starter if both Carson and Penny returned to the team. The Seahawks are not expected to get into a bidding war for Rashad Penny. Just judging by their previous free agency trends and approaches. So I think that there's a really good chance that Penny ends up on another team next year. And I would buy it. I mean, he was, it wasn't just good. Like it wasn't just like solid production down the stretch. He was dominant. Okay. He had more yards. He averaged more yards after contact per carry than any other running back had just total yards per carry. Okay. Which is an amazing stat. He had the highest breakaway percentage of any running back in the league all season. He had, I lost it here, but I will find it here. He had 19 runs of over 10 yards in five games. Okay. Like really, really impressive stuff. Like you said, he delivered on his potential, the potential that, you know, that we had expected for years, you know, it was like mouthwatering potential for Rashad Penny. He delivered on it. I think there are lots of teams, contenders, who could sign him for not all that much money, a prove it contract, an incentive laden contract, and you know, really get the most out of him and improve their offense.
Yes, it seems like it'll have to be incentive laden and could be. I'm staggered and confused because I'm just getting, we're getting breaking news, Denny. We're getting, this is actually not a joke. Wow. Russell Wilson has been traded to the Denver Broncos.
Well, there you go. Congratulations to the Broncos.
This has actually happened. We have not prepared for this, Denny, but I mean, this changes everything. Cortland Sutton, he's back. Jerry Jeudy is maybe back. So, I mean, Cortland Sutton, he's not as good as DK Metcalf, but he can play like the downfield. Actually, he is as good as DK Metcalf when he's healthy. He just wasn't healthy. And then he was in like an offense that just categorically could not take those downfield shots to him. Jerry Jeudy is actually kind of a Tyler Lockett type skill set, isn't he? I feel like where he can play the slot or make plays down the field, question mark.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I'm just freaking out basically.
I'm completely rattled but I'm trying to collect myself. Yes. I think this is probably really good for Cortland Sutton, certainly for Jerry Jeudy. I think even for a guy like Noah Fant, who is, first of all, our friend.
Absolutely. Our friend, Noah Fant. That's right.
And Fant is someone who creates a lot of separation. He runs a lot of routes. He's good. Like his athletic profile has always been off the charts. If he could just get some competent quarterbacking, he's a guy who could pop. So, the huge development for all the pass catchers for the Broncos. And honestly, if Javonte Williams gets that backfield to himself, if Melvin Gordon leaves Denver, which seems more likely than not, I would say, then having a great quarterback under center is fantastic for his prospects, because teams obviously can't do what they would have done with a lesser quarterback, which is stack the box, play just to stop the run and make the quarterback beat them.
It seems hard to actually think this is true, but I think this is probably the best supporting cast of Russell Wilson's career. It's like hard to say that about a guy who had DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett the past 3 years, but I mean, the top two receivers in Denver could be as good. I mean, they're not anywhere close to as good, proven yet. But easily within the range of outcomes that they could be as good as those top two receivers. And then Tim Patrick would probably be the best number three receiver he's ever had. Noah Fant, probably the best pass catching tight end he's ever had. I mean, Albert O, one of the better role players he'll have ever had. Javonte Williams, he could be the best running back he's ever had. So Russ too, now he's going into this Packers system too, the Packers system. So Russ, like Aaron Rodgers, is always a guy in fantasy kind of got home more with efficiency than volume. Like the volume's never really been but he's like thread that Aaron Rodgers needle, where he didn't need 700 attempts to be a super valuable fantasy quarterback. And now he's playing with a coach coming from that system that basically perfected that the past two or three years with Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, where it doesn't have to be all volume based. And I'm going to pull up the running back quarterback rankings. And
sure,
where do you think we will slot Russell Wilson into these quarterback rankings? I had Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Lamar, Herbert, Burrow, Dak, Aaron Rodgers, Jalen Hurts, and Trey Lance and Matthew Stafford all ahead of Russell Wilson. I had Russell Wilson as the QB 12. Is he going to be more valuable than Aaron Rodgers in 2022? Let's start there.
No.
You don't think so?
You think so?
At his best, hasn't Aaron Rodgers? Well, no, I guess at their best, Aaron Rodgers has always been more valuable in fantasy.
I mean, I do think that I'll throw this caveat in because it's necessary. Russell Wilson has stopped running.
Largely. He hasn't stopped running. He's just started running like a dad.
Well, what I mean is, the rushing volume that we got accustomed to is not there. So, hasn't been there. If he can get, he's only 33. I mean, he's not way over the hill. So
Speak for yourself. I mean, we're all both over 33 and it's pretty much over.
I'm not,
I spent after the show, Denny. I mean, I pick up a pamphlet. These are some paper towels. I pick up a pamphlet and I read about like what kind of glue I want to be made into. Like, oh yeah, I got 2 or 3 years left about to be turned into glue.
Look, I just
Elmer's spent, would be nice. You know, it reminds me of my childhood.
I spent 15 minutes on the exercise bike today, okay? And I'm fine. But you know, I think that if he gets back to that, if he brings some rushing upside to go with the passing, I think, yeah, maybe he could be in that Rodgers range, sure.
Yes, yeah. Rodgers range is the key because Rodgers is in the real McCoy offense. We actually don't know what Nathaniel Hackett will do with his offensive approach. At his best, Rodgers has always been more valuable in fantasy than Russell Wilson. Russ, since midway through the 2020 season, something weird was going on. Because he came out like totally guns blazing the first half of the coronavirus season.
Yeah.
And then was just awful in the second half of the season. He was better last year, and a lot of like the struggles that he eventually had could be traced to the finger. But he was not primary Russell Wilson. He wasn't primary Russell Wilson until Rashad Penny came in and like took over the offense, which was very strange.
I know.
Like, it's not even a joke. Like that actually is what happened. Like he didn't get back on track till Rashad Penny just went totally nuts. But yeah.
Well, here's what happened in the as far as I remember, and I looked into it quite a bit because it was one of the more perplexing things for Russell Wilson to light up the league for 8 weeks to start 2020, and like you finally got Russ cooking, you know, and it was like, oh, and all the analytics nerds, all of us were very happy. Oh, this is what we've been saying, you know, for 7 years, this is what we've been telling you to do, and you're finally doing it, and you're good. And then it all went to crap. But what happened, as I understand it, is teams did what they did to Mahomes last year, and they just dropped two safeties back, and they said, no more Lockett deep shots, no more Metcalf deep shots. You're going to have to do it the boring way. And the Seahawks, for one reason or another, maybe it's because of Russell Wilson's poor intermediate passing, couldn't do it. They just couldn't get it done that way. So, you know, that might be the limitation for Russell Wilson as a passer.
I wish he had gone somewhere like a little more proven. Like we love the young Broncos skill core, but it's a skill core that pretty easily projectable ceiling. And some of those guys have already flirted with the ceiling. Of course, Cortland Sutton, Javonte Williams is close. Jerry Jeudy is close, but not quite proven. And also a rookie head coach. I wish he had gone somewhere with like an established coaching staff, like a Sean Payton type situation, or like a John Harbaugh type situation.
Yeah.
But
what happens to Seattle now? I mean, I guess Pete Carroll is back for this year. I mean, they would have already parted ways with him if he weren't, right? I mean,
he's back.
Okay.
Sure.
So he's back. There was a report 2 weeks ago that the Seahawks may or may not be interested in dealing DK Metcalf for draft capital. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reported this week that the Seahawks are strangely interested in another receiver and adding another receiver to Lockett and maybe Metcalf. But yeah, it's a very curious. I think that we could see a completely blown up Seahawks this year. They might not bring back Bobby Wagner. You know, it could be a real turnover.
Pete Carroll now, he's like in the situation where he's going to try to prove that he can find a Mac Jones. Like this is like his whole life now is like he's got to match Belichick. Like he's got to find a quarterback who doesn't want one of these meddlesome quarterbacks that wants to run. He wants like a quarterback who's a statue who will hand the ball off as much as possible. Yeah, I have absolutely. I mean, Geno Smith's a free agent. He was Russell Wilson's backup.
No, I mean, I think the Seahawks are looking at a very dark couple seasons, maybe more after this move. I mean, finally, look, we've talked about it, about the Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll era. It's felt over for 5 years. It's finally over. And that's best for all parties. You know, I think that the Seahawks would have done the right thing by parting ways with Pete Carroll, thanking him for his service and going into a new era of Seahawks football. This one is stale, was stale. It's over. It's over with Wilson gone. But the fact that they're going into 2022 with Pete Carroll still at the helm is kind of mind blowing to me.
Yeah, it's pretty. Maybe it's just, maybe Russ said it wasn't Pete and just, it was the whole thing. He just needed something new. Like, he just, he's kind of like, you know, like, just like too much baggage. Like, it was a good run, but like, even if Pete was back, he still wanted to be gone. Maybe that's why. Maybe they didn't actually choose Pete Carroll over Russell Wilson. And it was just like, Russ was gone no matter what. Because otherwise, yeah, it would make no sense to choose Pete Carroll over Russell Wilson.
I mean, there's also the possibility that you know, they keep Metcalf, they keep Wagner, they try to keep it going somehow by, and I know this sounds like a joke or something, but, you know, maybe they try to keep it going by signing, you know, Carson Wentz or something.
Oh, my God. My God. Please just stop.
And try, that's not out of the realm of possibility.
There might be kids that listen to this show. There might be one to two children that listen to a good football show.
My kids are in the other room crying right now. After I said that.
Dark. The final question on this, would you rather have Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy in 2020? Who, we don't know the ADPs. We have no idea what the ADPs are going to be. Who would you rather roster in 2022, Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy?
So I have to say, Sutton's inability to command targets last year was something. It was not nothing. And I think that it's a little bit of a red flag. I'd go with Jeudy just because I think that Sutton's apparent downside is pretty frightening.
Yeah, that works for me. But we have more breaking news here. Drew Lock is part of the trade.
Well, there you go.
Drew Lock is frankly Pete Carroll's dream. Ugh. He is Pete Carroll's dream. Man, although Drew Lock used to like to try to run at Mizzou. He might not be a good little boy for Pete Carroll.
Oh no, the Seahawks are so down bad.
Pete needs to retire. Like, this is bad.
Yeah, no, I really do think that there's like a small chance that the next shoe to drop will be Pete Carroll saying, okay, I'm done here. So
no, there's no way. He needs to retire, but there's no way he's going to love this. I do think they're going to re-sign Rashad Penny now. I think they're going to lavish money on Rashad Penny.
Oh man. But that's not good. I don't like that.
And then he's going to pull his groin in week two, and it's going to be the most depressing team in the entire NFL. My true closing thought on this is there anyone down more bad? Is that way to say that?
I don't think so, but go ahead.
Anyone more down bad,
there you go,
than Josh McDaniels right now? He's in the division with Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Russell Wilson, and he's basically bringing like his knife Derek Carr to the gunfight. And man, oh man,
it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be difficult, I think, for the Raiders to win the games, win some games in 2022 and beyond. I guess that's if they keep Carr, which doesn't seem
like a lot. Seems like it's getting less likely by the moment, actually. Especially now, maybe. Like, why even bother? Like, don't saddle yourselves with this long-term Derek Carr contract where you can't compete in this division realistically.
Yeah.
So maybe actually now that they will trade Derek Carr, because that's what they should do.
Yes.
Because you just straight up can't compete now.
No.
You just actually can't compete. And it's really frustrating, but he's still like in his mid-40s. Mark Davis is actually very patient as an owner. Like, this has officially become a long-term project for Josh McDaniels and the Raiders.
Yeah, there are plenty of QB desperate teams who would, you know, trade quite a bit of draft capital for Derek Carr right now.
We were about to talk about free agent wide receivers until the bomb.
Yeah.
I'll never forget where I was when the bomb dropped, Denny.
Man, oh man, that's significant. That's a big deal.
No, I mean, I was making a nuclear.
Oh, too real, I would say, at the moment.
Too real. I've been meaning, I'm sure there's like a FEMA website where it can tell you what to do in a nuclear war. I should maybe go read that.
Well, there's a section of Twitter that talks incessantly about, here's why a nuclear war could actually be good.
Yes. Yes. We are not a broken-brained people.
Right. The economy.
Indiana Jones survived by getting in a lead-lined fridge in the fourth Indiana Jones movie that no one
saw. I saw that. Yes, I saw that in theaters, and it was the only time I've ever walked out of a movie.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I couldn't. I was deeply insulted by that movie. It was easily the worst movie I've ever seen. And I, by the way, I'm an Indiana Jones hater through and through.
I thought you would say fan. No, and you're like disgusted.
No, hater. I hate all the 80s movies. I think they're terrible. I think that one was the worst ever made. And that scene should be deleted from history, please. Anyway.
Which one?
the scene, the nuke scene where he survives in a freaking trash can or whatever.
No, it was a fridge. I think it had like fridge. A lead lining. And it's the only memorable scene of the entire movie because it was so dumb. It's the only one that anyone still talks about. But Russell Wilson is a Denver Bronco. Wouldn't you know it, folks? So now, you know, time to talk about Emmanuel Sanders. Right. I'm sure that's what you want to talk about.
Time to talk about Jakeem Grant.
Who are some free agent wide receivers you're excited to talk about?
Yes.
Take us through the whole group real quick. Just rattle off the names. Then who are some of the more interesting names in the open market?
Here? All right. So we have so Mike Williams is almost definitely going to be franchise tagged and stay in LA.
He has been franchise tagged, by the way. So
there's a lot of news happening. Yeah. A lot of news happening here in this show. So Allen Robinson is another one. Will Fuller, like we mentioned, Jamison Crowder, AJ Green, Sammy Watkins, T.Y. Hilton, Zay Jones, DJ Chark, Byron Pringle, Emmanuel Sanders, Juju Smith-Schuster, Christian Kirk, Zach Pascal, and Keelan Cole, among others.
Man.
We had Josh Reynolds.
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening. Sorry, by the way, it's a 3-year deal for Mike Williams, not the franchise tag. He actually signed in.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Good for him.
Sorry to torpedo you there, though.
No, it's fine. Will Fuller needs to go to Green Bay. I think we can agree on that.
Big time.
Please.
Big time.
Juju Smith-Schuster, I could see him, and I wrote in the piece that'll go up on our site. I could see him going to Indianapolis.
That would be a good fit. That'd be a great fit, actually.
Yeah, I mean, who knows who the quarterback's going to be? Probably Derek Carr. Probably going to be the quarterback for the Colts. But
that's actually that is happening. I just realized.
That sounds right.
Be like Josh McDaniels' way to finally be like, listen, let's put 2018 behind us. I'm real sorry that I did that to your franchise. We will give you Derek Carr for not a discount at all. In fact, we're actually going to gouge you on it.
Right.
But here is Derek Carr.
Right. Please three firsts. So, Juju Smith-Schuster, he returned to Pittsburgh last year, took a pay cut, or not a pay cut, but took way less to go back to Pittsburgh than he would have to go to Baltimore, for instance, and tried to show that he could be more than a slot receiver, and he did not show that. So the Colts are in desperate need of receiver help. You know, all they have is Michael Pittman, really, and so he could be kind of a reliable slot guy for the Colts. Do you want me to just keep talking about some of these players?
Well, what do you think the deal is? Allen Robinson going to get a multi-year deal at this point?
I'm sure.
Is he limited to, like, you don't think he's limited to prove it deals?
It depends on which team. So the Lions are reportedly ready to be aggressive with free agency spending around wide receivers.
Man, Allen Robinson, talk about a horrible fit, like with Jared Goff.
Terrible fit.
He needs someone that will pull the trigger on difficult throws. Jared Goff will not do that.
I actually think Robinson would best fit with a team that already has established pass catchers like Kansas City.
That's true. Maybe the Packers, finally. That was, you know, a big rumor back in the day before he went to the Bears.
It could, yeah, the Packers are interesting, but
Robinson, it's just similar to Devontae, too. Where, I mean, not to compare them. Like, he's not, like, a big separator. That wouldn't be, like, the kind of skill set they needed, basically. Right,
exactly.
He'd be like a worse redundancy to Devontae Adams, kind of.
Exactly. Yes. He's not the downfield guy that they would need. Robinson is not the downfield guy that he was in Jacksonville, and he really was.
No, I mean, he's a legit downfield guy. I mean, he's a guy who wins like hand fights on the sideline. He's not the skill set the Packers need right now.
Also, last season was so disappointing for him, and obviously for anybody who drafted him in redraft leagues. But it's hard to say how much of that was him just kind of losing interest in with a lame duck coach.
That's not just projection from you. I mean, like, he like tweeted about it every week, basically, yeah. Like how upset he was. I could just tweet Matt Nagy is sabotaging Allen Robinson's life. And within like 2 minutes, he would have liked it. Like, yeah. That's kind of how his season went.
Yeah. He had a bad case of COVID that where he lost like 15 pounds. Came back and he wasn't, he wasn't right. He said he wasn't right for weeks afterward. The team sort of phased him out of the offense. I mean, I just mentioned Jakeem Grant. Jakeem Grant was literally the wide receiver 2 for a few weeks there for the Bears instead of Allen Robinson. So you can kind of excuse that a little bit, but I think Robinson would fit well with a team that has at least one, maybe two established pass catchers.
Danny, we're running out of time for the show today, but Christian Kirk, what is your ideal landing spot for Christian Kirk, who is one of the wilder cards in this market, a guy who was good in Arizona, but never quite reached what we thought his ceiling might be, never quite established what kind of player he was. What is your ideal landing spot for Christian Kirk?
Well, I mentioned that there has been a lot of scuttlebutt around him going to Cleveland, which I think would be quite terrible.
We have a trash can right here. I would vomit live on air if we weren't live on air.
It sounds terrible, right? I mean, run heavy offense, Baker Mayfield. Oh, gross, right? But you look to the Colts as a team that's in desperate need of receiver help. Also, the Colts have a lot of cap space. Possibly the Raiders. And I know that the Raiders have a lot of...
A good fit there, actually.
Yeah, a lot of targets accounted for with Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller. But it's the kind of targets that are different. So Kirk can get those downfield targets, those Henry Ruggs-ish targets downfield, whereas Renfrow and Waller both eat up the intermediate stuff. So that could be a decent fit. And we know that the Raiders love their fast downfield receivers.
They do. Yes. At tight end, we're just going to go really quickly through Dyke. We already kind of talked about Gronk. We already talked about Dalton Schultz. We kind of talked about Big Bob Tonyan. Yeah. Zach Ertz. What do you think is Zach Ertz's ideal landing spot? Because he's a guy who's left for dead in 2020. Not to pat myself on the back. I didn't ever really think he was dead in 2020. I just thought his legs were kind of gone. Not gone. He was just too injured that year, basically. I thought he would kind of bounce back in 2021, and he did. Now he's a free agency. What is your ideal landing spot for Zach Ertz?
In the mold of Jason Witten, he can find the soft spot in a defense and just sit there and catch a pass and fall down. And that actually is as boring as that seems. It's a very valuable role for a lot of quarterbacks to have that kind of safety blanket underneath. And that's the role that he played for Kyler Murray in Arizona last week. I did have him maybe going to Seattle, which doesn't look like that's going
to
happen.
No, it will, because that's just what they're going to do now to cope. They're just going to load up on positions that don't really do anything for them, like running backs and tight ends. Pete, is this one after another, signed, 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 signed.
I think Zach Ertz at his ripe old age of 32, I think, is looking to sign with a team that has a shot. And so going back to Arizona is definitely not out of the realm of possibility. He was a good fit there. They're going to have lots of targets available. They don't have anything close to an established tight end there. He could just slot right back in to the horizontal raid offense in Arizona. So I could see that happening. Also, the Chargers, I think, would make a lot of sense for Zach Ertz.
Yeah, and that's important to remember. The Cardinals is they're not going to let all these guys leave. They're going to re-sign somebody. The Cardinals, the free agents, because Zach Ertz, AJ Green, Christian Kirk, James Conner, and Chase Edmonds. Insane amount of skill talent.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to go 0-5 on re-signing those guys. And at least one or two of them will be back. And it's possible Zach Ertz and Christian Kirk, their ideal landing spot is just the team they've always known. But Danny, our ideal landing spot for this podcast is now. Plane is landing. The podcast has ended. The quarterback musical chairs have ended. They've taken mercy on us. They happened during the show. It's a lot better than if it had happened now. As the show had been over. We're well, folks, here's our laughably dated podcast. Not much news on this Tuesday. Everyone knew Aaron Rodgers was going to re-sign with the Packers.
Yeah.
Nothing going on. Nothing's about to happen in 48 minutes.
And that's the end of that.
Yeah. So thank you to Russell Wilson for forcing his way out of Seattle while we were still on the air during our podcast. And thank you so much for listening. Check out our free agency primer, which should be live by the time you are listening to this. It'll be updated. We had a lot of wasted words. We had some franchise tag players in there that we're going to have to take out now, Denny. Your tight end section's just been decimated, by the way. Nevertheless. So check that out at NBCSportsEdge.com. Check out Pat Corain's podcast later this week and keep it locked to the site for all the latest news. There is a lot of it. For Denny, I am Pat. Thanks for listening. We'll be back later.